Kum lenen ablat gemara. We are up to the gemara right in the middle of the page of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We had Rabbi Loi who said that he once heard from Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and he couldn't find anyone else who corroborated what he heard. Basically what he heard was that when it comes to a karfif, he says that according to Rabbi Elazar, no matter what size it is, even if it's 30 saw, even though nobody dwells there, if you have four mechitzas, you're allowed to carry there. Not like we said before, if it's larger than 5,000 square amas or two saw. That was number one. Number two he heard is that if a number of people are in a chatzar, a number of Eden are in the chatzar, and then they didn't make an ediv, or didn't one of the people weren't joining the ediv, so then on Shabbos he says, I am removing my entitlement in the courtyard. According to Rabbi Elazar, he also automatically removes his entitlement in his house. So therefore, everybody in the courtyard is allowed to carry in his house, but he cannot carry from his house to the courtyard. And the third thing he said was a certain kind of a species that grows around a palm tree is considered murder as well. And nobody corroborated. So let's go through each one. Our Mishnah seems to not agree with Chananya. Because Chananya had a different version. Chananya says, Afilu hi aboim sa. He said that a karfif can go up to 40 sa. And you said, base kar, which is 30. Kiastratya shemelech, like the park by a king, you know, the by behind the king, there's all there, you know, trees and everything else, and they used to take a spatzir there. So we see that a dira can be larger than 30, it can be up to 40. Omen abyechen, the argument whether it's 30 sa. Or whether it's 40 sa, mikra echadosha, they both actually rely on the same pasuk. Shenem, it says, by he Yeshayo, that Yeshayo went to visit Yechizkio, Layotze, he did not go chotzer hatichayinu. He did not go to the middle chotzer. Now, it's written, if you look in the Kri and the Ksiv, they're very different from each other. Ksiv, it's written ha'ir, the city, but Karin, we read the chotzer, the yard. As if to telling you that a chotzer can be up to the size of an ear. Mikan, from here we learn out, listrati shemelech, that this area of the king, with the king and so on and so forth, take their walks, like a little park behind the palace, shahoyu ka'ayoriz bainis, can be up to a mid-sized city. And they're arguing, what's the size of a mid-sized city? 30 so or 40 so? The Mike Mifilgi, Mar Sovet, Ayoriz bainis, have a base code. An average city is 30 so. So that's 1500 by 1500. And Mar Sovet, another one holds, Mem so. That is 40 so. So 2,000 by 3,000 amas. 15,000 by 15,000 or 20,000 by 20,000 amas. Not very large. The Yeshaya my boy Hassan, why will be Yeshaya there? Abba Rabba Barab Chanav Yechen Melamed, Shechola Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo got sick. Remember Hashem orchestrated that Chizkiyo should get sick. Yeshaya should come and visit. And eventually Chizkiyo should marry Yeshaya's daughter. V'holach Yeshayo, v'hoishiv, Yeshayo went to visit him, and v'hoishiv yeshiva al pischai. He erected a yeshiva at the entrance of the palace in order that the Talmidim will learn, and the schus of that learning, he should get well. Mekan l'tam chochem shecholov, v'tam chochem yitzik, shema yeshiva yeshiva al pischai. He set up a yeshiva by the door of the house, and the schus of the Torah that's being studied, he'll become well. Says Gemara Vlad Milsi, actually it's not a good idea at all. Because what you're doing is you're taunting. Whenever you taunt the Malach HaMavis, he works harder. He doubles his efforts. Dilma osi legruyibe. In a way, maybe you're antagonizing him and he's going to work doubly hard to chasham hurt this tzaddik that he's that's already in pain. Legruyibe Sutton. Okay. Chayin shamaiti, and I heard another din. Anshe chotzer shochach v'yidibeitza osa. That I heard that for himself, his house is osa. He cannot carry between the house and the chotzer. In the house he can carry, but he cannot carry from the house and the chotzer. But everybody else in that courtyard can carry from the courtyard in the house because the house is considered now communal property. Says the Gemara, but nan we learned beisai osur lahoitzi ulahachnis loy vilahen. We learned that the house did not abandon his house. He only gave up his rights and entitlements to the courtyard. So everybody can carry in the courtyard from their houses and so on. But nobody can carry from the courtyard into his house, not him and not them. Not a problem. That's exactly the dispute between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar says they can all carry that he also gives up his rights in his house, so therefore they can all carry into his house as well from the chotzer. And Rabban Holi doesn't give up the rights to the house, because all he mentioned was the entitlement to the chotzer. And now you want, I can explain. When you abandon your entitlements to the yard, you're also abandoning your entitlement to your house. You're giving it over to everybody. And if somebody gives up his rights to the yard, he didn't give up his rights to the house, so therefore nobody can carry from the chutzah to the house, not him and not them. What are you telling us that we didn't know? That's exactly what the argument is. How else would you learn it? Omer Rechava said Rechava, Ana I and Abhuna Bachinna Targimna, we explained that from here, what he was trying to say is that from here we learn out regarding another machlekes, and that is as follows. We don't need it Ella only in the following case. Let's say you have five people who are reside in one yard, and they said they share a yard. One of them forgot and didn't make an eidav. The question is as follows. One guy forgot to join in. Does he have to say, I abandon my rights to the chutz and I'm giving it over to everybody? Or sufficient if he says, I'm giving it over to you? The guy who came to his knocked on his door, hey, you didn't join our aid. Is it sufficient if he says, I'm giving it over to you? According to Rabbi Lezer, the whole point is that I'm being very generous. When I abandon my rights to the yard, I also abandon my rights to the house. I'm being generous. So same thing over here. Even though I'm abandoning the rights of the chutzah to one of the neighbors who share this yard, I'm really giving it over to everybody. You don't have to go out there and expressly say, I'm giving it over to everybody. But the Rabbanon will say that no, you're being very stingy, and if you only give up your rights to the yard, you're not giving up your rights to the house. When you're, you have to give it over to every single person. Command Oslo. So then according to who does it go, what the time we learned, the five people reside in one yard, and one of them forgot. Did not make an native. Who's author of the following brayso? Five people reside in one yard, and one of them forgot. When he mevatel shusay, when he abandons his rights, ein tzadik levatel reshusay. You don't have to say to each individual neighbor, "I'm giving you my rights." It's enough to say to one. Command. That obviously follows Rabbi Lezer, who says, "You're generous. You're giving over to everybody." Rav Kahana. So in other words, according to this version, we said one thing, and then Rechava and Rav Machanina deduced or inferred from what he said what's pshat, from what Rav Huna said. However, according to other version, Rav Huna is said so openly. Rav Kahana Mas Nehochi, this is how Rav Kahana learned it. Rav Tebiyun Mas Nehochi, this is how he learns it. Keman Ozlo HaLetanya, who's the author of the Braisa, Hei Shashruim Bechotzer Echad, five people share a common yard. V'shochach Echad Mehen V'la'id, more than forgot to actually make an aid of Kishumavatl Rusutzer, when he cancels his rights. Ainu Tzadik Levatl Rusutzer, you don't have to give over your rights to every individual. Keman, who did that go according to? Amr Yehuda Marav, Sheishes, Keman, Kirab Elezer. So Huda himself who says this, that it follows Rabbi Elezer, because you're being generous. I have a question. According to Rabbi Lezer says when you abandon your rights, your entitlements to the yard, you're also automatically abandoning your entitlements to your house. What happens if you expressly say, I am not abandoning the entitlement to my house? According to Rabbi Lezer, what would the din be then? If he clearly said, I am not being mevatel, we'll soon explain the two sides. And the Rabbanon would say that when you abandon your rights to the chutzah, you are not abandoning the rights to the house. What happens if you clearly say, I am? According to Rabbanon, I am mevatelin, what's the din? And explains another question. Is time with the Rabbi Lezer, is the reason the Rabbi Lezer Mishum de Kesavar, is the logic behind Rabbi Lezer says it because he holds. Hamavatl Rishus Chatzede. Rishus Beisei Bitl. He holds that when you say I'm abandoning my rights to the courtyard, automatically you're also saying you're abandoning your rights to your house. So in a case where that's an assessment we make. But the high Amar Amno, Lemavatl, he clearly said I don't want to be a Vatl. So he's not. Is that the svara? Or you do, but perhaps another svara altogether. How can you live in a house and not have a right to the courtyard? How can you get out of the house? And therefore, maybe it can't be that you abandon, maybe Rav Shimon holds, you cannot abandon your entitlements to the yard without abandoning entitlements to the house, because it doesn't make sense to keep the house, but you can't use the chutzah. Nobody lives in a house that you don't have use of the chutzah that you can place things in. So therefore, the chikka amma. First, he said, "I'm giving you over my rights." The chutzah automatically, the house is dragged with it. And then, if he later says, "Lei mevatlin lav kol kmini," it's too late. You already gave it over. You can't change, and you're not believed because what's a house worth? Is that pshat? And therefore, it doesn't matter what his protestations. We look at what he said initially. That's one way of looking at it. Second thing is, it doesn't matter. That's one, that's Rabbi Lezer. Rabbanan, my same question is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said when you abandon your rights to the chatzah, you don't abandon your rights to the house. Why not? But he said, I do want to abandon my rights to the house. You guys can carry into my house. My time with the Rabbanan. What's the logic of the Rabbanan? Is it Mishum the Kasavi, the hold? Time of the Rabbanan Mishum the Kasavi, is it because he holds that Hamavatl should chatzeder should base a lebitl. This guy says Mavatlinam. Is it because when you abandon your rights to the chatzah, doesn't automatically mean you abandon your rights to the house? And therefore, when he says I will abandon my house, fine, it's valid. I do my time Rabban, or perhaps something totally different. Or maybe the reason that Rabban is Mushun La'ovit Inish the Masalik Nafsh the Gamri Bay is the chatzah. A person generally does not give up his rights of the house as well. It's one thing the common courtyard of your private house. And he should be a guest by them. It's very uncomfortable. It's my house. Why should I give that the rights to my house to give it over to everybody? This person, but he says clearly, I do give it up. We don't believe him because he can't. You can't. What's the house worth? I mean, nobody gives up a house, and therefore you buckle a dite. It's a kolod. If nobody else does it, just because you said it means nothing. So he asked the Abaye, which one is it? Amale Abaye said to him, Ben Rabban Rabbi Lezer, Kivan de Goli Daite Goli. If you expressly said, I want to give up my house, or I don't want to give up my house, there's no dispute. The only argument is, when you say nothing, what assumptions can we make? The third thing was he said about Mor, V'chein Shemaitim, and I heard, Sheyotzim, you can be Yotze Ba'akavlin B'Pesach. You can be Yotze with this thing called Akavlin on Pesach. My Akavlin, what exactly is this Akavlin? Om Nishlokish, Atzaf Socharizuyasa. So Rashi says, this is something that grows around the palm tree, and it grows around the bark of the tree, and it goes up like vines. And it's called charizos because they grow up in pairs that are all very close together, and it has some kind of a bitter taste. And that's what it is. Taisha disagrees, and he says it's some kind of, it's not nothing to do with a tree. It's some kind of a like a plant. Anyway, hadin aloch oisin pasin. Now goes the next pedik. The next pedik, Bakol Ma'arvin. Actually, we start talking about Edavit Chumin. So Edavit Chumin gives us license to extend how the distance that we can walk in Shabbos. We can walk 2,000 amas in all directions. We'll see a machlekes later if it's a circle or a square. The 2,000 amas means a radius of 2,000 amas, and therefore it's a circle you can walk all around you. Or is it actually a square, so you can walk the diameter of diagonal of 2,000 amas, which really allows you to walk more than just 2,000 amas, another quarter. In the northeastern direction and northwest direction, and so on. And what happens, the way Tchum Shabbos works is we go to the edge of the city and beyond the perimeter of the city, another 72/3 amma, and we begin counting the 2,000 on one side and all different sides. If you decided to go and you can take a walk on the eastern side of the city and you want to go beyond 2,000, so you either before Shabbos you yourself have to stand there, or you can put food there, and you're praying to Shvisa, it becomes your place. And wherever you put the food, it has to be accessible to you. So we say, if it's a Shusha Rabim and you put the food on a place which is a Shusha Yachid, it's not accessible, so it's not valid. But so either you can be there or your food can be there. But the way you get an extension is we rob Peter to pay Paul. If you want to add, let's say, another 1,000 amas on your left side, we take away 1,000 amas from your right side. So now on the right side of the city, you can only walk 1,000 amas. No longer can you walk 2,000. If you want to walk an extra 2,000 amas, then you cannot even take one step outside of the city. Actually, we'll talk about later about walking one step. So this is what Chumen is all about. Now, the food that you put down there, what exactly is it? Says the Mishnah. Bakol ma'arvi, you can use any food you want to put it down on the side of the city. Umishtatfim. Now Rashi learns, we're talking about here Eidah v'chatzeres and Chumen. So we're not only talking about Chumen, we're talking about Eidah v'chatzeres as well. You can use any type of food you want. Chutz min hamayim umin hamelech. Except water and salt, it's not food. The Gemara will say later, there's the whole Gemara here, that even though it says Bakol, a rule, and then it says Chutz, which sounds like the Gemara is being very specific, and yet the rule is that every rule has an exception, including this rule, that when you use the word exception, can also have an exception. Because there are other things as well, like mushrooms, we'll see later, is not considered food. Teisha argues with Rashi. Teisha says when it comes to an Erev Chatzeres, everyone says you have to use bread and not any kind of food. It's talking about Eved Chumen. The whole idea is to have a meal, it can be any type of food that fills you. That's number one. So talking about what kind of food you can have, we're going to include some other dinim as well. The hakel nikach bekesef maisa. The maisa sheni, which you have to give the first and second and fourth and fifth year, that means that 10% of your new produce you have to take with you to Yerushalayim. This is separate from Bikurim. And a lot of people couldn't schlep all their produce to Yerushalayim, so they would sell it or transfer it into money, exchange it for money, and bring the money to Yerushalayim, and there they would have to buy food products and eat it there. And that's why the people in Yerushalayim were blessed, because a lot of people couldn't eat all that food in such a short time, so they would give the money over to the locals that they should buy themselves food and eat it in Yerushalayim. What kind of food can you buy? You can buy whatever you want, chutz min hamayim and hamelech, except for water and salt. Hanoyder min hamazon, if somebody makes a neder that I will not... that I make a neder that I will not eat mazon, eat food. Mutter, he's allowed to have melech hamayim. He's allowed to have salt and water. Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin. If you want to make an erev with chumen, what about a nazir? A nazir cannot drink wine. But because wine is suitable for other people, it's good enough for the nazir as well to put a bottle of wine there as his food. El Yisrael, for Yisrael, he can place the truma. Even though it's not suitable for the Yisrael, he cannot eat truma. But a kohen can't, therefore it has a status of food. Sumcha says no. Sumcha says when it comes to truma, for Yisrael it's not valid. It has to be chulin, something that he can eat. But he doesn't argue regarding wine for a nazir, because a nazir can always go to a rav and be matan neder, annul his vow that he said, I want to become a nazir, and he himself can start drinking the wine. But Yisrael, there's nothing he can do to ever be in a position to be able to eat truma. So therefore, Sumchas argues on the truma, but doesn't argue on the wine. V'la koyin, and so too by a koyin besa pras. So we learned already before a number of times. The besa pras is when we know there was a grave somewhere in this field. It was plowed through and through, and now we don't know, you know, what happened to it, and it might be the size of a bone. Remember, we learned that the size of a bone, the size of a lentil, can already generate tumor. So, midrabbanan, a kohen cannot walk into that area unless he walks very slowly and he blows in front of him and he makes sure everything's all right. So, if you put food inside this beis hapras, a kohen can use that to walk chum Shabbos, because there is a way for him to get, he has access to it, by, you know, sweeping it and blowing so that he can get there. that's number one. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilu bein hakvaris." Rabbi Yehuda says that even if there is a cemetery that you're allowed to, and between the graves itself, you're allowed to go ahead. Why? You're allowed to put food there and use that as your shavisa, so you can extend your distance that you can walk from Shabbos. Why? You can always, in theory, a kohen can go into a beis hakvaris. You put him inside a box. Therefore, he's protected and isolated from all the kvarim. You can always separate him from the rest of the kvarim. And as long as there's a possibility for him to get there before Shabbos, by going on the wagon, the back of a horse, the leil of lechel, he has access that he's able to eat, that is good enough. So because the kohen, there's a possibility, anyone that has there's a way that a person can eat, even though the poiler didn't do it, that's good enough that he's able to extend his what he calls chum that way. Okay, should be early. We'll stop here. And have a good Shabbos, everybody. So tomorrow.